all we got time for tonight on Ryan Incorporated. You heard from Bloodroot with Like That and Luna Lee with Confusion Song. Hope you enjoyed. Have a wonderful evening and stay tuned for all the wonderful stuff coming up next on 101.5 UMFM. It's been a great day. Hope you enjoyed the wonderful day. Have a great day. Ryan Incorporated signing off.
In the sauna, and you laughed at me when I called it marijuana. Everything I see now ends in a comma. Can't believe you might wanna stick around. Turning the dial in search of a station. The last 2 years, just one long staycation.
You're listening to CJUM 101.5 FM, broadcasting from the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg.
The views expressed in the following program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of this station.
The following program may or may not contain objectionable words, risque, questionable, or nasty and naughty subject matter, possibly graphic depictions of violent situations. If any of the following disturb you in any way, please feel free to tune out and tune back in when the show is over. Have a nice day.
You know the slogan of the super patriots, love America or leave it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm leaving, but I'm leaving with love. We go where the work is, and that's where I'll be going, to those countries on the other side of the ocean, where America, which used to be so loved and so admired, is now detested. Yes, that's not too much to say. Today, our country is hated, and not just because we're big and rich. But it's really true. No country is so hated.
What about?
And so feared. Is everybody crazy except us? You can bet that I'm going to be pretty tired of defending my country over there. So I hope you'll understand if I don't waste much time defending it while I'm still here. Every big human organization, every church or government or political system has always been, and by the very nature of bigness, must always be responsible for grave assaults on human dignity, responsible for murder and for mass murder. There's no use hypocritically pretending that this isn't true. The American government, like every other government in the world, is a murderer. That's not a cause for despair or an excuse for retreating into drugs or the mystic contemplation of your navel or for cynicism or any other retreat. Retreat is surrender. If the good fight can't be won, it mustn't be lost. Our job is to keep up a police action against the possibility of a police state. Crime can never be wiped out completely, least of all the crimes of government, of any government, any conceivable government. Our job as individuals, I think, is to do our individual damnedest to keep the crime and the government under control.
We must not fail, we must not fail. The knife and bears the fang when people all together
today bears little relation to that known of any of my predecessors in peacetime, or indeed by the fighting men of World War II or Korea. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. We annually spend on military security alone more than the net income of all United States corporations. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
Some darker people, some pro-hungry people in the mud for for big powerful America and shoot them for what? They never called me nigger. They never lynched me. They never put no dogs on me. They never robbed me of my nationality, raped and killed my mother and father. What I'm gonna shoot them for what? How can I go shoot them? Them little poor little black people, little babies and children, women. How can I shoot them poor people? I don't just take me to jail.
Shows us that given an opportunity to do good or to do evil, man will usually do evil. And it's no good blaming it on other people. This film has been blamed, the effects of this film have been blamed on the maker Sandy Cook, on me, but all I did and all he did was to show what people are really like. That we are prone to evil. If you announced tomorrow night that there would be a sacrificial burning of heretics, or lions would be brought into the studio and chase the viewers out, people would be delighted. They'd far prefer that to, say, a performance of Twelfth Night or Antony and Cleopatra. And people are like that. But it is a fact that however we pretend that life is all roses and honey, life can be pretty evil on occasions. And it's no good blaming anybody except man himself. We're all like that. Given the chance, we'll all be like that.
Do you blame individual man, each individual man, or can you blame...
I blame collective man. I blame man as an animal. The fact is that this is no theory. This is no special kind of theological or moral pleading. History shows that given an opportunity, man will do evil. Man goes on doing evil, and our problem is to learn how to live with it. It's not to pretend that there are solutions. There's no political solution, there's no moral solution.
No, no. have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And you know, is the price worth it?
I think this is a very hard choice, but we think the price is worth it.
Soul to oppose the policy that you promoted. I gave my political life's blood to try to stop the mass killing of Iraqis by the sanctions on Iraq, which killed 1 million Iraqis, most of them children. Most of them died before they even knew that they were Iraqis, but they died for no other reason other than that they were Iraqis, with the misfortune to be born at that time. I gave my heart and soul to stop you committing the disaster that you did commit in invading Iraq. And I told the world that your case for the war was a pack of lies. I told the world that Iraq, contrary to your claims, did not have weapons of mass destruction. I told the world, contrary to your claims, that Iraq had no connection to Al-Qaeda. I told the world, contrary to your claims, that Iraq had no connection to the atrocity on 9/11/2001. I told the world, contrary to your claims, that the Iraqi people would resist a British and American invasion of their country, and that the fall of Baghdad would not be the beginning of the end, but merely the end of the beginning. Senator, in everything I said about Iraq, I turned out to be right, and you turned out to be wrong. And 100,000 people have paid with their lives, 1,600 of them American soldiers, sent to their deaths on a pack of lies. 15,000 of them wounded, many of them disabled forever on a pack of lies. If the world had listened to Kofi Annan, whose dismissal you demanded, if the world had listened to President Chirac, who you want to paint as some kind of corrupt traitor, if the world had listened to me and the anti-war movement in Britain, we would not be in the disaster that we are in today. Senator, this is the mother of all smokescreens. You are trying to divert attention from the crimes that you supported, from the theft of billions of dollars of Iraq's wealth. Have a look at the real oil for food scandal. Have a look at the 14 months you were in charge of Baghdad, the first 14 months, when $8.8 billion of Iraq's wealth went missing on your watch. Have a look at Halliburton and the other American corporations that stole not only Iraq's money, but the money of the American taxpayer. Have a look at the oil that you didn't even meter, that you were shipping out of the country and selling, the proceeds of which went who knows where. Have a look at the $800 million you gave to American military commanders to hand out around the country without even counting it or weighing it.
How many of you there are. Never let the manicure against form your opinions. This is the trick that's played on everyone who's oppressed. The first thing, an occupation, when you have a revolution in the country, the first thing you take over is the radio. And then you start telling the people that everybody, the war is over. And so all of them surrender. No, they believe that thing right there. And once they take that over, they start telling you where you are and where they are, and you fall right in line. It's plain thought control. The majority of the American people aren't segregationists. That the majority of the American people aren't imperialists. But the government is, the structure is, the power faction is. So, but how then do all the majority go along with it? Because those who sit in power over the television, over the radio, and over the press is constantly telling those who are the masses how free they are. And how this they are and how that they are.
Fire! So somebody gotta shell them. These evil angels, So this is the former head of CBS when Trump was running for president. Remember what he said?
Man, who would have expected the ride we're all having right now? This is pretty amazing. And, you know, who would have thought that this circus would come to town? But, you know, it may not be good for America, but it's damn good for CBS. That's all I got to say. So... What can I say? It's, you know, the money's rolling in, and this is...
Polls are open.
This is fun. We had a debate a couple of weeks ago with 14 million people on a Saturday night. You know, it's amazing. That's all I can say.
Do you look at the Trump phenomenon as impacting ad spend? Because while he's got lots of money, he's got a lot of free media as well.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of free media, but all that's happening out there, there's a lot of money in the marketplace. There's a lot of money in the marketplace. And sure, is Donald, they're not even talking about issues. They're throwing bombs at each other, and I think the advertising reflects that. Most of the ads are not about issues. They're sort of like the debates. They're saying he did this or he did that. It doesn't say what I stand for. It's, it is, I've never seen anything like this. And, you know, this is going to be a very good year for us. Sorry. It's a terrible thing to say, but bring it on, Donald. Go ahead. Keep going. For us, economically, Donald's place in this election is a good thing.
CBS is a hedge on Trump.
Exactly.
What you're saying.
Got it.
Somebody's saving me, stepped on a knife. Romance that's filled with stains, silence. Skin like jackass, and it is for you, cunning. our fault what came out. We didn't go into Egypt.
Well, we
wound up with the Muslim Brotherhood.
We didn't go into Egypt. We were supporting and propping up Mubarak for 30 years, even as we were cheering for all the Tahrir Square demonstrators as though we were on their side. It was our government that kept Mubarak in power, just like we've done across the entire Muslim world. And it's amazing for you to say that, well, look at all these Muslims. The minute you give them a little bit of freedom, they go wild and they start being all violent. How can you be a citizen of the United States, the country that has generated more violence and militarism in the world over the last 5 or 6 decades, and say, look at those people over there, they are incredibly violent? We play a significant role in what has been happening in the Middle East because we've been interfering and dominating that region in order to have access to the oil.
I wasn't talking about violence, I was talking about theocracy. That doesn't happen here.
No, that doesn't happen here, but at the same time, Iran isn't invading lots of other countries and occupying them for a decade, nor are fundamentalist Muslim countries the way the United States is. So these things are interlinked because we are continuously interfering in that part of the world. And so to say...
Really, it's all our fault?
It's not all our fault, but when you send your military for 6 straight decades into other countries to bomb them, kill their children and women and innocent men, prop up dictators, you take responsibility for your actions and say, to the extent that that region...
That religion goes back 1,000 years before our revolution, so I don't think we can take all the blame.
I don't think we should. I think we should take a lot of it. And there's lots of bodies and corpses that have been piled up in the name of Christianity and Judaism as well.
Not recently.
Have you heard of the occupation of the West Bank and in Gaza for the last 50 years, motivated in part by extremist views of Judaism or the wars in Europe or the fact that there were generals in the United States saying we have to go and invade and destroy Iraq, a country of 26 million people, because our God is bigger? Lots of religions, not just Islam, produce violence.
Well, if I could just make one quick point about Egypt.
That silly liberal view that all religions are alike. Because it makes you feel good.
No, it makes you feel good to say our side is better than people over there.
No, it makes you feel good to put a crown on your head and say, I'm a good person. How do I prove that?
You get to ignore the responsibility that your own government has for the violence and instability in the world by saying, look, it's that primitive religion over there that's to blame.
We're better than that.
difficult, complex, serious and deeply held issue.
Do you think Israel breached international law by cutting off power and water supplies? Do you think cutting off food, water and electricity is within international law?
Do you think Israel is abiding by international law?
I think that Israel has an absolute right to defend itself against terrorism.
That's not the question I asked.
I'm not going to sit in your studio and grandstand and tell you that I'm going to make big pronouncements about what Israel is and isn't doing.
As I say, I mean, it's very difficult at the moment because this is all happening so fast.
What would your red lines be? There's been accusations of white phosphorus being used, of collective punishment, of bombing of safe routes. What are your red lines?
Here has shown real leadership in setting forward our position.
What I'm not going to do is adjudicate on each and every example that people may understandably want to put to me.
Do you support the order to move them or not?
The order to move them? Well, clearly.
Just yes or no?
It's not a yes or no, Victoria. I'm hoping one day to be Foreign Secretary and achieve diplomacy. It's not a yes or no.
The Defence Force say civilian deaths in this conflict are inevitable in order to eliminate Hamas. Do you accept that?
I was an aid worker for almost 10 years.
It's really just a yes or no.
I accept that when there is war, there is civilian camp casualties.
It's clear to me that it's wrong to bomb a refugee camp. But clearly, if there is a military objective, it can be legally justifiable.
Keir Starmer is not a protest leader. He understands why people are calling for a ceasefire, but he believes that for those two reasons, for now, that is not the right approach.
Some of my colleagues who think it's more important to make a gesture.
Still a relatively small number of junior front bench colleagues who've said this. They almost exclusively represent very heavily Muslim constituencies.
Keir's position is the right one.
A siege is appropriate, cutting off power, cutting off water.
So, well, yeah. I think that Israel does have that right.
Keeping you cool with his giant fan. And I, on the other hand, I hope this bagel will never end. But he's your ruthless dictator, he's your enlightened plutocrat. He is dancing on the table in a shirt made of hats. You didn't start the bonfire of the vanities, but you're tossing in our clothes and our humanities. And once a year, we act like we were glad you were born. You always want up on the Middle East on the weekend when we could be cutting. It's crude, it's rude, it's full of toxins, dude. It's the underground hero to a special few. It ain't broke, so don't fix it. And never change, no matter what. Meanwhile, I'm going back to school. I've been eating mush all week, and it's time for round food. But he's your ruthless dictator. He's your straw man, strong man. He's taking you to the Cinderella's Castle of Shame at Disneyland. He didn't start the bonfire of the vanities, but we're tossing in our clothes and our humanities. And once a year, we act like we were glad you were born. You always run up on the Middle East on the weekend when we could be cutting grass or eating cheese. With your girlfriend, we could learn to read and write in Portuguese or Korean. But you always run up on the Middle East. You always run up on the Middle East on vacation when we could just write a payout or recline. In frustration, you could occupy the park across the street with the Nerf gun. But you always run up on the Middle East. We'll be right back. this one up on the Middle East. On vacation, where we could just write a poem or recline in frustration. You could occupy the park across the street with this workout, but you always want up on the Middle East.
To boycott film companies that are complicit in Israel's genocide.
Yes.
What kind of backlash has there been? And just how important is it for actors and filmmakers to take a similar stance?
I don't know. I can only do it for myself. I'm too old, too tired, and too talented, quite frankly, to take any I just feel that I don't want to do that anymore. You know, I believe that the truth is important. And I believe that it was a travesty what was happening in Palestine. It's just that the way the Israelis have behaved towards Palestine is just unforgivable, quite honestly.
Are you surprised that not more actors, more filmmakers have actually spoken up?
Well, I think that a lot of people are sort of worried about their careers, you know. But I do feel that there are a lot of actors who actually do are very much in support of what's happening in Palestine and what and the Palestinian cause. It's not even a cause, it's just a right to be alive.
Oh. Israel does have a concept called mowing the grass. Mowing the grass is the concept that every few years, the United States, Israel should enter Gaza and kick the shit out of them for a while. Excuse the language, but what I mean by that is murder lots of people and kill innocent people and destroy the infrastructure. That's called mowing the grass. So Netanyahu can at least say we've mowed the grass in Iran. But of course, it has solved no military problem, no political problem, no economic problem, no geopolitical problem, no security problem. It's only made everything worse.
At 1200 watts from the University of Manitoba, located on Treaty 1 territory, the original lands of the Anishinaabeg, Nahiwak, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and the homeland of the Métis Nation.
Good evening, everybody. You're tuning to Cheap Tuesdays 101.5 UMFM. I'm your host, Dan. This is the last show. So let's run down what you heard. The first clip was the late, great Orson Welles talking about how he was leaving the country and how people need to fight. And it's something I sympathize with greatly since I'm leaving the airwaves and want to give you one last message with this first hour of the show. And it's actually quite similar to what Welles said. We'll cover it at the end. The first thing you heard was Atrocity, We Must Not Fail. I wrote the lyrics to this one. It was on my trip to Limerick, Ireland, where I was researching some family history, and I read something from an early 20th century revolutionary newspaper in a museum. And at the top was a little poem that started with the words, "We must not fail, we must not fail," and inspired me to write this. Forgive me, but I'm rereading the whole thing. "We must not fail, we must not fail, however fear and sloth prevail. In those who crave conformity and rot away complacently. The dark's not deep enough to hide what light of truth will now provide. For those who've never given up, may justice fill their empty cups. The murderers and thieves will hang when cuts the knife and bares the fang. When people all together see what we can do, what we can be. So let the message ring in sound that when our wills and souls are found, we will not fail, we will not fail to hammer in the final nail." And the music there was AI. A lot of people call it AI slop, but I'm telling you, I think that sounds better than 90% of the corporate-produced bullshit out there. So I don't think that was slop. I thought that was pretty good. The second clip, a long one, Dwight D. Eisenhower, famous, talking about the military-industrial complex way back when he was on his way out of office in the 1950s, and boy, was he prescient. Although maybe that's not quite the right word, maybe observant. He saw what was happening and already being built in front of his eyes and knew what it would turn into. And boy, was he right. And so after that, wow, world premiere. So I've been telling you on the show here for a while that I'm singing in a band. And the band is called Dyslexicon. And we've been recording a couple of tracks, and that was one of them. Moral Superiority Complex. It's not the final mix, but we've put these two songs out. We're going to get them pressed into a 7-inch. The first part of the song details different war crimes happening in Gaza, but really could be anywhere, but specifically influenced by Gaza. But then the last verse is more general about the same topic that Eisenhower discussed, linking his military-industrial complex with this sense of moral superiority we tend to have in the West in regards to people living in Africa and the Middle East. And I guess that sort of was the earlier part of the song, but here's how it ends. "The moral superiority complex, the whole world feels its dire effects as it slams its boots down upon our necks and its crusted bloody beak relentlessly pecks. Never-ending torture for whoever it selects, charred heaps of carnage are what it collects, and it don't ever matter what the populace elects, we're all just insignificant specks on the shit of the moral superiority complex." After that, we heard Muhammad Ali right around the Vietnam era talking about why he wasn't going to go to Vietnam. "Just put me in jail. You can't force me to go over there and kill a bunch of brown people and children. My life here in America is bad enough." West Coast pop experimental band from the era, from the 60s. "Child of a Few Hours is Burning to Death." Great song. Here's the relevant lyrics. "A child of a few hours is burning to death. Her eyes are full of smoke. Her mouth is full of fire. Napalm is perfect for women and children. Forgive us, forgive us. We should have called Susie and Bobby. They like to watch fires. Pretend it's not happening. It will be clipped out of tomorrow's news shows. After the funeral, after the feast, baby, with so many bodies at our feet." Amazing stuff. And I took a trip to Vietnam, I guess a year, 2 years ago. Visited the site of the My Lai massacre, and pretty intense. It's a small area to visit. There's nothing really left of the original site. A couple of half-built walls and you know, lots of areas where it was clear that there were residences. And then they did something with the ground that was pretty wild. I'm guessing that it was, I mean, it could be the original and then plastered over to keep it in place, but it could have also been made as sort of a artistic project. But anyway, on the ground in front of you, you can see footprints of bare feet, and then you can also see boot prints of, like, soldiers. And just amazing, really moving sight. If you ever go to Vietnam, it's kind of out of the way, but you got to go. There's a museum there as well. It's really good. And then we heard Anthony Burgess on humanity being evil throughout history. He wrote the amazing novel A Clockwork Orange, which was turned into an equally amazing film by Stanley Kubrick. sparked a lot of controversy, to say the least. But his point overall is a good one. Throughout history, man has again and again and again chosen to be evil and do evil things. I'm not so sure I agree with the pessimism of the last part, though, that there's not really anything we can do.